Have you ever noticed how the people who hurt us most are often the ones suffering most themselves? Sharon Salzberg discovered this truth in 1971 while studying meditation in India, where she encountered an ancient practice called metta, loving kindness. What she learned wasn't about forcing warm feelings toward everyone or pretending pain doesn't exist. Instead, she discovered something far more radical, that our capacity to love isn't a personality trait some people have and others lack, but a skill we can systematically develop. Think of it like learning to play an instrument. You don't need to be born musical to practice scales, and you don't need to be naturally compassionate to practice loving kindness. The Dalai Lama's famous declaration that "my religion is kindness" isn't just poetic, it's practical. In a world increasingly fractured by division, Salzberg offers a 2,500-year-old technology for cultivating four transformative qualities: love, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. These aren't abstract ideals, but trainable mental states that can revolutionize how we relate to ourselves, others, and the inevitable difficulties of being human. We've been sold a lie about happiness, that it comes from accumulating the right experiences, relationships, or possessions. Like the meditator who searched endlessly for the perfect meditation cushion, only to realize he already owned 300 comfortable chairs, we seek externally what's already present within us. Conventional happiness creates a trap. Based on getting what we want, it's inherently unstable and leaves us terrified of loss. To protect this fragile happiness, we disconnect from others' suffering, building walls that deepen our loneliness. Emperor Ashoka's transformation illustrates the alternative. Once a bloodthirsty tyrant, his encounter with a Buddhist monk sitting serenely on a corpse-strewn battlefield so profoundly affected him that he renounced violence entirely. True happiness doesn't come from controlling circumstances, but from integrating all aspects of experience. Transformation happens when we recognize our inherent wholeness, what Buddhist teaching calls suchness. In this state, we remain present and unharmed regardless of circumstances, like the sky remaining untainted by passing clouds. This recognition breaks the spell of conventional thinking and opens us to our deep capacity for love. Metta practice helps us reteach a thing its loveliness, both to ourselves and others. When we recognize goodness in someone, we enable them to flower from within. A Cambodian boy who survived a prison camp illustrates this power. Forced to watch executions without crying or be killed, he shut down emotionally. After being adopted, he gradually learned to love again by seeing love reflected in his foster father's eyes. That mirror showed him he was lovable and capable of extending love to others. The practice begins with ourselves, directing phrases like, "May I be free from danger," inward. For many, this proves unexpectedly challenging. We're often our own harshest critics. Yet this self-acceptance creates the foundation for extending loving kindness to others. The power of metta lies in intention rather than feeling. You don't need to manufacture warm emotions. You simply repeat the phrases with sincerity. After a week of practice, Salzberg broke a jar and spontaneously thought, "You are really a klutz, but I love you," revealing that transformation had occurred beneath her awareness. Metta creates spaciousness, like a vast lake that remains unaffected by a teaspoon of salt, compared to a small glass where the same salt would overwhelm. As spiritual teacher Neem Karoli Baba advised, "Don't throw anyone out of your heart." The Buddha taught that hatred ceases through love, never through more hatred. Buddhist psychology distinguishes between guilt, self-hatred that depletes energy, and remorse, recognition of harm that frees us to move forward. When we see anger as impermanent, arising from conditions rather than being ours, we can relate to it skillfully. The Buddha described anger as having a poisoned source and fevered climax, murderously sweet. It burns up its own support like a forest fire, narrowing the mind and creating tunnel vision that fuels cycles of harm. Forgiveness releases us from deeply held aversion. Understanding that all beings are owners of their karma allows us to let go of being agents of revenge. Forgiveness doesn't condone harmful actions. It's an inner relinquishment of guilt and resentment. It's a type of dying where we say, "I am not that person anymore," and "you are not that person anymore." The most powerful conditioning for loving kindness is seeing the good in someone. Even with difficult people, finding one good quality creates warmth from which we can genuinely open to them. When this fails, we can focus on the universal wish to be happy. All beings want happiness, yet few know how to achieve it. The Buddha taught one thing and one thing only: suffering and the end of suffering. True compassion, karuna, a trembling of the heart, means living with sympathy for all beings without being overwhelmed by their pain. Modern society teaches us to avoid suffering through consumption, painkillers, and institutionalizing the troubled. This denial creates a gap between inner reality and external circumstances. Developing compassion requires acknowledging that suffering exists everywhere, then opening to pain gradually. When confronting suffering, we often respond with anger, fear, or grief, what Buddhist psychology calls compassion's near enemies, because they masquerade as compassion while draining us. True compassion arises with equanimity, seeing the world as suffering and the end of suffering, rather than good and bad. It inspires forceful action without anger's corrosion, like instantly pulling a child from a hot stove without rejecting the child. The compassion meditation uses phrases like, "May you be free of your pain and sorrow," directed towards specific individuals. A powerful practice involves directing these phrases toward those causing harm, challenging work that helps us see beyond judgments to recognize suffering's universal nature. Sympathetic joy, feeling genuinely happy when others are happy, is what the Buddha called the mind deliverance of gladness, because it frees us from negativity. Though considered the most difficult quality to develop, it defeats the aversion and attachment that bind us. Practicing sympathetic joy means overcoming our tendency to judge others' happiness by our own standards. When someone finds joy differently than we would, sympathetic joy lets us value their happiness over our own righteousness. Comparison undermines happiness. Whether we conclude we're better than, worse than, or equal to others, measuring ourselves against them causes harm. The antidote? Being happy for others generates our own happiness. We can rejoice in our own goodness, practice gratitude, and recognize how compassion and sympathetic joy complement each other. Compassion prevents sympathetic joy from becoming sentimental optimism, while sympathetic joy prevents compassion from becoming overwhelming. When Salzburg brought a teacher from India to America, he observed Western practitioners rowing earnestly without untying their boat from the dock, striving for transcendent meditation while neglecting everyday compassion. The Buddha taught that all beings want happiness, yet do the very things that bring suffering. True morality reflects our deepest love and care, recognizing our interconnection. To protect another is to protect oneself. Buddhist lay people traditionally undertake 5 precepts, refraining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, harmful speech, and taking intoxicants. Understanding karma helps us take spiritual responsibility rather than feeling victimized. Our intentions are seeds that bear fruit, helpful intentions bringing happiness, harmful ones bringing suffering. The Dalai Lama noted that Tibetan torture victims often don't experience post-traumatic stress disorder because they focus on compassion for their torturers or understand their experience through karma as part of a meaningful order. Generosity is the inception of the spiritual path, characterized by letting go. The Buddha taught that no true spiritual life is possible without a generous heart, as giving brings happiness, informing the intention, in the act itself, and in remembering it later. Your capacity for loving kindness is your birthright, waiting beneath layers of conditioning. Start small. Offer yourself the phrases of loving kindness. When you recognize your own worthiness of love, you become capable of extending it boundlessly to others.